Today she is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. In the time of Chazal, burial took place in a very different way than it takes place Bizman Hazeh. The way burial would take place is that they buried people in a cave in the wall of the cave, and as we learned in our previous year, families would be typically buried together. They would choose a cave, and they would dig out the holes in the cave to make where people would be buried, and there would be a chotzer next to it. And we'll talk about the size of that chotzer. And from there, they would make another cave with places for people to be buried. And our Mishnah that will discuss this. Of course, the Rishonim point out that the entire discussion in our Mishnah is only in a time and place that people were buried in that fashion. In the world that we live in, that people are not buried that way, then all the halachas would be very different. So it says the Mishnah, Makom Machom Chaveiro, if somebody sells a place to someone else, lasses lekever, that he could make kvarim over there, graves over there, became Mekabim Chaveiro, lasses lekever, that somebody contracted that he's going to dig graves for someone else, he's given a cave, and he's told this is the way it is. That says the Mishnah, what are the dimensions of this cave? What should be done there? Oysa toicha shel ma'ora arba amis, al sheish. The length is 6 amis, and the width is 6 amis. Ubesaych le toicha, and in that area, he will make shmoina kuchim, 6 burial places, as we mentioned, the made in the wall. Of course, I also, the Miri points out that this is all in a case where they didn't verbalize anything different than anything specific. If they verbalized and they agreed to a certain amount, then we follow, of course, what was agreed upon. The Mashah explains why did they make caves that should have 8 burial places? Because as we know, that the Torah Kedoshah speaks about the 7 krivim, the 7 relatives for whom one becomes an oval. And because we have those 7 krivim, and the head of the family is 8, so that's why the number 8 is the proper number to have spaces for burial in a cave. The Mashah also explains that it follows what one of the first kvarim we find in the Torah, the Maris HaMachpelah. And the Maris HaMachpelah was 4 couples, Adam V'Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. So because the first real burial place that we find in the Torah, it was a place with 8 kvarim, that became the minhag that we have a place where there were 8 people who could be buried. Another very important point that already the Gaonim, the Rav Chaim Gaon and the Rishonim speak about, and as we're going to be describing how they buried, each person was buried in a separate grave. And from here we see that we may not bury 2 people in the same grave. And in fact, I saw the Chesukei Chemed discusses a very interesting question. There was a woman who had a woman and a daughter who were very close, the mother and daughter, and they went to the Chevra Kedisha of their community that after they die, whoever dies first, and then the second person from this mother daughter will pass away. They were so close in their lifetime, they want to be buried in the same kever the same place together. And if they will do so, if the Kehillah will do so, the Chevra Kedisha, they will leave from their estate a large donation for the Kehillah, for Yeshiva. And as we just said in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Simen Shin Samach Beis Sif Gimel Paskins, Ein Koivrim Beis Meisim Zebet Zadzeb, we don't bury two people side by side. Elm Kein Hayudoifen Hakever Mafsik Bineim, unless there's a wall separating them. And the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, the source for that halach in the Shulchan Aruch is actually our Gemara. So now, of course, the Chevra Kedisha refused to bury them in such a fashion, which is contrary to the halacha. But the question now was, what happens to the money that they had said that they were willing to donate? But they had made it very clear that the donation was dependent on them following their instruction that they should be buried in the same kever. And here, they weren't being buried in the same kever. So he quotes a Gemara Masech Tebeit. The Gemara Masech Tebeit, the Chof Amanal, says, Ha'u gavrit om lehav licha abe meizuz leploni, give $400 to somebody, v'leisiv barati. Amar papa abe meizshakel, he gives the $400, or barati boi nosiv boi lenosiv, and he doesn't have to bury the daughter. Havalei v'leinsiv. So the Gemara goes into a whole discussion, how was it worded? So the question here is, even if a word worded properly, how do we have to follow what they said? So he says a very interesting sfora. He says that this it quotes the Trumas Hadeshin. This mother-daughter already in the Olam Emes. And since they're in the Olam Emes, there the truth all becomes clear. And now they're quite aware that people are not allowed to be buried together in one kever. And certainly, when they're in the Olam Emes, they want to do what's right. And therefore, the assumption is now that when they came to the Olam Emes and they're ready to do what's right, they're also ready that the money that they wanted to give for tzedakah should be given to tzedakah. So again, we have this cave, as we said, which is 4 by 6 amos, and we're digging in the walls where the people will be buried. So it says the Mishnah Paisel, Taicha Shmeina Kuchim. There will be room in the walls for 8 kverim. Shlosh Mekan, Vishlosh Mekan. 3 on the 2 sides, Vishnaim Mekegdim, and 1 facing them. The Kulon, and the Kuchin, and all these holes, all these tunnels in the wall, Arkan Arma Amis, their length should be 4 Amis, Veruman, and their height, because that's the typical length of a human being. Although I did see there's a machloikus Rishonim how to learn Peshat in this Gemara. The Ramban learns, because the normal height of a person is 3 amos. Then you need 1 more amma to have the room to put this nifter into that kever. Tysus disagrees and says that the normal length of a person is not that much. And it's really relevant because there's a very famous question in halacha, comes up very often, is when we know the halacha often determines a shear, a kezayis or kebeya. And the question is, if the shear is a kezayis, the size of an olive, the size of a beya, is it the size of a beya that we have, an egg that we have nowadays, or olive? Or do we say neskatnu hashurim? Do we say that the shurim are not that we have, the olives that we have now, the eggs that we have now, are smaller than the eggs that they had in the time of Chazal, and therefore the shurim are not just a kebeya or a kezayis? And one of the ways that this discussion is analyzed, the Aruch HaShulchan says that 3 amis is more than 6 feet. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that Rashi, the Ramban, Rashbam and Ramban said that the average height of a person is 3 amis. He says no one, Bizman Azeb, is that tall. So we see, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that Niskatner Shurim, he says the Jews where he lived in Russia and Poland were typically not six amas tall. So we're not three amas tall. So what's one of the rayas than Niskatnu HaShurim? Then Mishnah says the room and the height of the grave is seven tvachim. And here too, all the Rishonim and Achronim point out that when a person's laying, he doesn't need a height of seven tvachim. So why do they make it seven tvachim? So the Rashbam explains, because we want that there should be a tefach between the nifter and the covering. And the halach is that there's a peseach tefach if there's a tefach between the nifter and the covering on top of him, then the tumas hames does not go all the way up. So to avoid that there shouldn't be tumma all over on top of a basic forest, that's why they buried that way. The Rishonim, however, point out that even though there is no tumma deraisa, if there's a tefach, there is a tumma derabbanan, even in a case of peseach tefach. But they wanted to avoid a tumma deraisa. For Rachvan, and the width of the aron in which they placed the mace is the halacha is six tfachim wide. And therefore, the cave where the graves looked was you had a kuch of six tfachim, then you had an amma in between, and then you did that three kfarim. That takes up the six amas. And then on the other side of the wall, you had two kfarim, and the spaces takes up four amas. Rav Shimon says that the dimensions of the cave are shesh al shmoina, six amas by eight amas. But according to him, there weren't just room for eight kfarim in a cave. There was actually room for 13. Ava mikan v'ava mikan, four on each of the two sides. V'shloishim connect, which is a total of eight. Three on the back wall. Echem mi'min ha-pesach v'echem min ha-smol, and one to the right and one to the left. And if we look into the diagram in the Rashbam, the second diagram, it's a little more complicated because the Mishnah and Gemara will continue speaking what Rav Shimon refers to. But if we look at each cave, each mora individually, we'll see that there is room for four on each wall, three in the back wall, and then there are two going off into the diagonal. It's interesting that the Chassam Sofer points out that when somebody is buried in Chutz Laretz, in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't make a difference in which direction the nifter is laying. Because since he's laying in Eretz Yisrael, he's going to be able to get off for Tchiyas HaMeisim. But in Chutz Laretz, as we know, that the Mitzvah Shem, by Tchiyas HaMeisim, the people who are buried in Chutz Laretz are going to have to travel underground to Eretz Yisrael. So the Chassam Sofer says it's appropriate that people who are buried in Chutz Laretz should be buried with their legs facing Eretz Yisrael, so that they're going to be able to get up and walk towards Eretz Yisrael. Vayis HaChatzar, says the Mishnah, continues the Mishnah. So now, till now we've been describing the actual cave in which the kfarim are. But now says the Mishnah, V'oysa chatzar api ma'ara, we make a chatzar in front of this ma'ara, sheish al sheish, which you have a dimension of six amas by six amas, as we also see in this diagram, k'mole hamita v'kavera. And the reason we need to have that size is, as we discussed in our previous year, they brought the nifter and they had to be able to carry him and put him down, the mamadas, etc., before they bring him into the cave. That we could have two caves for one chatzar, the upper picture of the Rashbam, achas mikan, v'achz mikan, one to the right, one to the right and one to the left. Rav Shimon Omer, as the second diagram indicates, that we aren't limited to having two caves and one chatzar. We could have arba. We could have four caves, labor chaser, to the four sides, as is indicated in the second diagram in the Rashbam. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that as we started the shir discussing what is the obligation of somebody who who's contracted to dig graves, what must he done? But the Rambam, and also for somebody who bought a place to make graves, what must he be given? That's how the Rashbam learns this line of the Gemara. But the Rambam says that there's no question when we have a kever, when we have a cave to make graves, the halach is, as we learned earlier in the Mishnah, whatever diagram we're going to follow. We're speaking about somebody who was hired to dig graves. For that, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, hakol fi asela, we have to determine the type of ground. If the ground is hard, so since the ground is hard, we don't have to worry about having such a significant separation between the niftarim, and therefore we could have even less space in between, and maybe we could have more people buried there, or they don't have to dig that much. And if the earth is softer, so then you're going to have more space to keep the kfarim separate, to keep the kfarim separated, and that they shouldn't fall in. Ask the Gemara, Hani Trey. So we learned that Reb Shimon, besides adding how many kfarim we could have on the sides of the on the sides and on the back, he also added how many that we have these two kfarim that go off in a slant. So ask the Gemara, Hani Trey Lechishadilu. When we speak about these two graves that go off in the slant, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, Ilavroi, if we're going to suggest that they're facing inside the cave, so says the Gemara, that would cause a very serious issue. How come a smachile? If they're going under the chatzar, if we're going to have them going underground, under the place where the people stand, that chotzer, so people are going to be standing on top of those graves. And the halacha is, of course, one may not stand on top of the grave. The su hatunan chotzer ha'emid chotzer hakever, the chotzer that's in between all of these caves, ha'emid b'taycha, somebody who stands there is tahar. And the Gemara's question is, if there are graves under it, so then people, then how could there not be tumah over there? So that can't be pshat. So one of the halachas that we learned here is that one should not stand on top of a place where there are people buried. That the Ramah says in Yerodei Simon Sin Samach Dal Sif Aleph, Yesh Oysim Oid Leishiv Ala Evin Shnoisin Ala Kevel Matzeva, one may not sit on a Matzeva. The Torah already brings this as a machlokes rishonim, because the question is the matseva considered an extension of the kever? Because if it's considered an extension of the kever, there would be two reasons not to be able to sit on them. One is there's an issa hanor from a mace, and the other reason is because of bezoyin mace, to sit on top of a place where one is, to sit on top of a place where there is a nifta buried. And the Taz asks a question. He asks a question that we just learned in our Gemara, that everybody agrees that the kvarim cannot be going into the chatzar, and the reason the kvarim cannot be going into the chatzar, because then it will turn out that people are standing where kvarim. So how could one suggest, ask the Taz, that one should be one could sit on a metzeva. So he says that. So I saw that some explain that there's a difference when the crave is right under where I'm standing, and I'm not allowed to stand on top of that spot, versus where it's a matzeva, it's a raised matzeva, like an Etz Yisrael, so I'm not directly on top of the kever, that's why it may be different. Of course, we are makbid not to stand or sit on top of a matzeva under any circumstances. The Paiskim do, however, say that if one is walking in a basic forest, he doesn't step on the matzeva chas v'shalom, but he could step over the matzeva. And also, there's a discussion if it's letzorech mitzvah, can one step, or if somebody has to bury a nifter and it's a tight spot, and the only way that they could bury the nifter is by being on top of the matzeva, is there room for leniency? Amar, so says the Gemara. So we're back to our question. How the Gemara wanted to suggest that according to Rav Shimon, that we have these two additional burial spots. And the way we have these two additional burial spots is because they go off in a slant. And the Gemara wanted to say they go off into a slant into the chatzar. Says the Gemara, how could that possibly be permissible? It was going to turn out that people are standing on top of where people are buried. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, the Ovid lay Kiminagar. The way it's made is like a bolt, and since the bolt, the made like a bolt, that they're, so they're on the side of the door, and that's not where people stand. Ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that that's acceptable? Because it means the nifter is buried standing, and therefore he's not going into the chotzer. But ask the Gemara, Vamar Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan teach us that kvuras chamarim huzeh, to bury a person standing, is to bury a person like animals are buried. Rabbi Yochanan, says the Gemara, it must be that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that they're buried overlay b'karen zavus. He makes them on the back corner, and therefore they're not standing, the kvarim are not in any way in a place where people are, in a place where people are walking. So our Gemara has taught us that burying a person standing is like burying someone like an animal. Where do we find this? In Sefer Yirmiyahu, it speaks about the kvura of Melech Yoyakim. And the pasuk says, kvuras chamar yikover sachav v'hashlech mahalal Yerushalayim. And what the pasuk means to say is that just like when a donkey dies, they just drop him in the ground where he died, that so too does the Navi say will happen when Yoyakim will pass away. I saw a fascinating story regarding Rav Moshe Feinstein. We know that Rav Moshe Feinstein, prior to coming to the United States, he lived in communist Russia. And unfortunately, in communist Russia, there were people who became atheists and did not practice Judaism in any way. And sometimes they were even worse than that. They were collaborating with the communists against religious Jews. And in the city where Moshe Zatzal lived, there was such a Jew. But he was about to pass away, and he called the Chevra Kedisha, and he told the Chevra Kedisha, as if he's sort of doing tshuva. He says, I know I lived my life the wrong way, and I didn't practice Judaism, and I actually caused problems for the religious population, and therefore I don't deserve to be buried like a regular Jew. I want you to bury me standing. And then he indeed passed away. The Chevra Kedisha came to Ramosha, the Rav of the town, to ask Ramosha what should they do. Should they fulfill his directive? Because he said he deserves to be buried like an animal, as the Gemara just discussed. Or should they not fulfill his directive? And Rav Moshe said that as we just learned in the Gemara. The halacha is that we have to follow the halacha. And the halacha is that a Jew is buried laying, not standing. The fact that he requested differently, the fact that he was or wasn't religious, is immaterial to what the halacha is. So the Chevra Kedisha, of course, followed what the Rav Rav Moshe said, and they buried him like all other Jews. A couple days after he passed away, the Russian authorities, the Russian police came, and they demanded that they want to open up this grave. And as much as, of course, we know the halacha, and we're going to be discussing these halachas in upcoming shiurim, is so sensitive and against opening up a kever, it's very hard to argue. It was very hard to argue with the authorities. That's what they demanded, and that's what they had to do. So they opened up the grave, and these Russian authorities looked at what's going on in there, and they walked away. So nobody understood what's happening here. What happened here was that this person who passed away was such a Russia, and even as he was about to leave the world, he still was anxious to cause problems for the Jewish community. So he told the communist authorities, "You're going to see how much the Jews despise you, and that I, who am a proud communist, they won't afford me a burial like they bury all other Jews. And I'm going to be buried standing like an animal, not like other Jews. And that should be a proof to you how much the Jews cannot be trusted and how much they should be persecuted because of their terrible attitude towards communism." And he said, "Open up my kever a couple of days after I pass away and look how I was buried." And they came to do so. But because Rav Moshe, in his wisdom, told them, "We have to do what the halacha says, and there are no excuses to violate the halacha under any circumstances. And no one, even a communist, no one, even if it sounds reasonable, can make conditions that are contrary to the halacha." And because Rav Moshe followed that approach, which is the approach that we always should follow, to do exactly what the halacha says, that's how the Jewish community in that time was spared from who knows what kind of great sorrows they could have suffered. But ask the Gemara, if we're going to dig these new tunnels in this fashion, says the Gemara, that Vanagi Kuchen La'adodi, by doing so, we're going to create a situation that they're going to be too close to the spots that are near them. And as we've been learning throughout our shir, the halacha is most sensitive that graves should not be too close to each other. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Ashi, the way we avoid that is mamik, that the two graves that are in the corner are dug very much underground, and by being dug underground, what we accomplish is that they won't, much lower than the other niftarim, they won't be touching them. And says the Gemara, Tzdilai Temahachi, if we will not suggest that that's the way that they are buried, Arba Amis L'Rav Shimon, the four Amis in the Chotzer, that Rav Shimon told us that that's what we make. Hecha Evelahu, how can we make that? Ha'kanagi Kuchen La'adadi, as we showed in the diagram in Rashi, in Rashbam, and Amar Aleph, you have these four caves that are all next to this chotzer in the middle, and they're going to start overlapping, so as the diagram shows. So how do we avoid that they are not, that the kfarim, as we see from the top, and are the ones on the sides? How do we avoid the problem that the kfarim should not touch each other? Says the Gemara, El Abimamik, it has to be that some of the graves are dug much below the other graves, and being dug much below the other graves, we avoid that problem. Rav Huna, says the Gemara, Rav Huna very sure, Aymar, Abim Arsler, Rav Shimon, when Rav Shimon said that we should make the four graves along the side, and how do we avoid that they aren't touching? So he says, because we do it ki charusa. We do it like the leaves of a lulav, that they're not all slanty, they're not all along the same length, as is shown in the third diagram here in the Rashbam, the third diagram, the bottom diagram in the Rashbam here in the Amid. But says the Gemara, this suggestion that Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua just made, the Hadar Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, says the Gemara, Barusahi, is actually incorrect. Michti. Because says the Gemara, there's a fact. The Kol Amsa, Berubua Amsa Trechum Shabalachsoinai. The diagonal of the sides of a square are 1.2 longer than the sides of a square. So if here we're not making them straight, but like we showed, they're making them diagonal, Kamal Chavalhu, so how many amas will this take up? Chadat Sari V'chumsha. I'll take up 11 amas and a fifth of amma. The Kuchen, and how much room do we have space for the tunnels? Kamal V'tamna, 8. The Tamna, so says the Gemara, how could you put 8 into a space? It's just way too tight. Ella, says the Gemara, because of this, had the Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua just said, Berusahi. Says the Gemara, Vibay Seima, another way of explaining, how can we make these extra kuchen on a slant and avoid them touching, being too close to the other kfarim that we keep on learning throughout our shir? We have to be so careful that they shouldn't, touch each other. Says the Gemara, that we make those kfarim for children who are achmanas on the fallen, young children who die before they're 30 days old. So obviously they don't need such a big kever. And since they don't need such a big kever, there won't be a problem of them touching the other kfarim. Achinami, that's why we're going to have to say over here that we're dealing with Nephilim, we're dealing with young children, and buried in such a fashion, and since they're buried in such a fashion, there is no concern that they're going to touch each other, because we need a much smaller tunnel to bury them in.